What's going on, fellow A-plusers? It's your boy, Adam Perez. We're back once again with a brand new episode review for none other than The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live, episode number 3. First and foremost, man, apologies for getting to this review rather late, unfortunately. I was out of town last weekend, went to Austin with my family. I had my parents in town from Georgia. My brother came in from Japan. We spent about 3 or 4 days out in Austin. Fantastic time. We wind up getting in late, I want to say Tuesday. By the time we got in, we was expected to actually get in a lot earlier on Tuesday than what we did. But unfortunately, we got in around maybe 9 o'clock that night. So I was exhausted from certainly doing a lot of driving. And then, of course, I had to work on Wednesday and Thursday and today in office. So the commute back and forth, man, was draining. This took a lot out of me. So, but I was determined to get you guys this review up before we wind up getting episode 4 later on this weekend. And so here we are, guys. So again, if you love long form reviews, if you love talking The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live, this is probably the review for you guys. So let's go ahead and get into it. First thoughts. What a great episode this was, man. After the first episode, I actually thought episode number 2 was a little lukewarm. It was enjoyable, don't get me wrong, but a little bit lukewarm compared to the very first episode that we wind up getting. This just gets back to the form. I think the idea of Okafor being gone adds really another dimension, right? Not really anybody there to certainly have Rick Grimes back. And then on top of that, he's got to deal with Jadis, who really just kind of admits the idea of just how much she certainly knows, the idea that she's certainly willing to go ahead and reveal all of Rick's sort of plans and who Michonne certainly is, sort of thing. First off, I really enjoyed Jadis in this episode. I mean, the intensity between these two, clearly they have a huge history that I really kind of want to go back and certainly explore now just to see the origins and the beginning of her, honestly, to kind of see how deep this relationship goes. I did watch a little bit of the episode, parts of the episode after, where you get like the insider, where like the producers and the writers and stuff kind of talk about the episode, and even they kind of delved a little bit more into her relationship with Michonne and Rick, and it really has me interested in maybe doing a rewatch of The Walking Dead and kind of catch up on what I missed. But with Okafor gone, you know, now Jadis is a whole nother player in here he's got to worry about. And even somebody like Thorne, who really came up with Rick, they haven't necessarily always seen eye to eye, but they definitely have had each other's back. And now that Thorne is kind of on the inside, he almost really can't trust her either, right? I mean, she really does sort of set the groundwork in a sense of like, I'm not Okafor. So clearly there is an element of some of the things that she wants to keep that Okafor kind of laid the groundwork for her and Rick. But I definitely do think she's certainly more CRM minded than maybe Okafor was, and understanding the bigger plan now that she's gotten Shallan briefing, she really knows certainly kind of like what's at stake, sort of thing. So she clearly wants to do things on her own, especially as we saw towards the end, the idea of maybe even wanting to kind of kill Michonne, in the sense of not her not taking orders or following orders, sort of thing. She could really kind of set off all their plans of really bringing everything down. And I think that's the mentality here, right? I think the idea of Jadis in the beginning of this episode says, look, I wasn't so much worried about you alone, Rick, but now that Michonne is here, you know, the two of you guys together, you guys can do anything. And it feels very much sort of like that two-man army that they are kind of establishing between Rick and Michonne. So let's go ahead and get into this, man, because again, this was a fantastic episode. Michonne's not really doing her part, if you will, of the deal in the sense of making her seem very helpless. I was fascinated when she was in consignment and she's killing these walkers, that she looks up and she sees Grimes' name. It says Grimes 68. And I wonder if that's like the number of walkers that he certainly killed, maybe in one sort of sitting. And I will say the episode really starts off very much echoing, it feels like, episode number 1. You know, there are a couple of elements in here, especially when she's on the line killing those walkers in the beginning, sort of her narrating her story to Judith. It is one of those things where it feels very much like it echoes Rick in the beginning of episode 1, sort of writing to Michonne. And I think the idea of episode 1 kind of ending with Rick kind of giving up hope, right? Accepting the idea that he's never going to leave here, but then getting an opportunity to see how Michonne's story ends here in episode number 3, where she actually takes the risk, if you will, of saving Rick, doing something completely bonkers, like jumping out of an airplane, like out of a helicopter. Like, how do you jump out of an helicopter in the middle of a gigantic storm, not even knowing where you're at? The risk was certainly huge, but the idea that she's like, look, I'm not going to leave this guy behind. I'm going to try and do my best to kind of bring him home sort of mentality. There are some very eerie parallels to Rick's story from episode 1, but clearly hers ending in a very different way. So I was a big fan of the storytelling here in this episode. And it really establishes just the differences, even, I don't want to say the differences, because being where Rick is at has definitely changed him, right? The man's been in here, what, like 6 years now, if not a little bit longer. He's kind of fallen, I don't want to say necessarily fallen in line, but he's been, he's been brought to his knees enough to where he's like skirting the line a little bit. And considering the fact that he knows he's tried to escape, he's lost limbs in the process of escaping, you know, he now doesn't want that to happen to Michonne. I certainly still put blame on Rick for even putting Michonne in this situation. They certainly should have ran when they had the opportunity. And I do think there's a level of guilt that Rick and, you know, blame that Rick puts on himself also, in the sense of bringing her here. I think even Jadis points that out to him a little bit, like, you're the one that brought her here, Rick, right? Like, if you didn't want her to get stuck here, you shouldn't have brought her. And maybe he certainly brought her out, certainly out of selfish reasons, especially seeing her for the first time and having to kind of think on your feet sort of thing. But now that she's here, now he wants her to kind of go away. And so, you know, I do wonder if there's more going on with Rick here, or maybe it is just the case that the CRM have really broken him a little bit. You know, maybe he doesn't necessarily have that fight or that belief that he certainly used to. But again, when you've tried to escape 4 times and you can't do it on your own, I can understand the idea of him maybe not being quite himself. And, you know, I think Denying here does a great job of just her facial expression. I think they had some really great close-up shots of her eyeing Rick Grimes, seeing the little smirk, you know, the wide eyes of hers at times, really kind of looking him up and down, trying to figure out, like, who is this man, right? Like, this is clearly not the same guy that I remember or that he is, but he's definitely changed. And again, I go back to what Nate said to her in episode 2, I believe it was episode 2, the sense of, like, is he still the same man? Is this the man that you remember? And she had to think about it for a second and said yes. And now I think she's clearly realizing, like, no, this is not necessarily the same guy. Not that Rick is lost, but you can definitely tell how embedded he is in the CRM, what he's been trying to do this whole entire time. And maybe she realizes sort of the hold that it has on him. But look, leave it up to Rick Grimes, right, to kind of be like the hero all the time, always willing to sacrifice himself to save the ones that he loves. And in this time, Michonne was like, no, bro, it's not gonna work that way. Like, you can't just lure me out here, make me think we're gonna be whisked away together and finally escape and live our lives together, only to leave me a note like, I'm not coming. Like, no, you can't do that, especially considering the fight and how long she's certainly been looking for you sort of mentality. Michonne is just like, look, I don't need some hero, right? Like, I don't need saving. What I need is you. And you know, Rick has definitely got to kind of get out of that mentality of really feeling like he's got to be the hero and he's the only one that can kind of save the day, if you will. I mean, getting to the point of like trying to end it with Michonne, like, we're broken sort of thing. Like, Rick, calm down. But look, I guess if you are Rick, you realize what's happening around you, right? You got Jadis that's willing to kind of ruin everything, potentially get Michonne killed. You got Thorne, who had Michonne certainly in his sights, and he probably just doesn't know what to do anymore, understanding the threat that kind of surrounds the both of them now. So there are elements to Rick's decision that I certainly can understand, but Michonne's not that woman. You know, like that's not it when it comes to Michonne. Like, you can't just push her away without any real explanation. And look, when she's in love, she's got the man that she wants. She's taking her man with her. And so, you know, it was interesting to kind of see here again, bonkers to see them even throw themselves out of a helicopter. But, you know, she's clearly willing to take those risks that maybe Rick probably would have taken years ago. But he definitely is not certainly doing it anymore. So it'll be interesting next week to see if there's like a come to Jesus sort of moment, right? Like if he's got to be, what is it? Not decoded, but like rewired into his mentality and thinking in the sense of like finding who Rick Grimes certainly used to be, right? So instead of just this whole we gotta go back, they're gonna kill us sort of thing, like, bro, where's your balls at, Rick? Like, come on, you guys can do anything. And that's exactly what Jadis is certainly fearful of. So it'll be interesting to see if Rick and Michonne certainly stand their ground in next week's episode. But intense, man, intense, especially the idea of inviting. There was a part of me in this episode thinking to myself, like, does Rick and Okafor have a thing? Does Rick and Thorne have a thing? You know, if with all this time passing, them working closely together sort of thing, you know, him not expecting to have ever seen Michonne, was there some sort of bond or relationship that kind of grew between those two? I was thinking maybe in the beginning of this episode thinking like, man, maybe this is going to be kind of intense for him to have to like maybe reveal to Michonne, like, I kind of moved on a little bit. But that's clearly not the case. Clearly, Thorne is moving up, sees the bigger plan here with the Echelon briefing, and her mentality has certainly changed after the passing of Okafor. And, you know, clearly willing to bring in aides, but clearly testing Michonne at the same time and really not wanting to ruin what the bigger picture is here, I guess, for CRM. I guess, you know, when she's under the belief that Rick is all in, that he has accepted the fate, you know, maybe she's certainly expecting Michonne to kind of fall in line also. And that is definitely just not happening. She wants to leave with Rick just as much as Rick has always wanted to leave. But he clearly doesn't feel like there's an opportunity for him to certainly do so, and feels the only way he can do that is by saving Michonne and certainly getting her out of there. So, you know, two extremely tough wills clashing in here, and Michonne just was not having it, to certainly say the least. But it made for some great television, some incredible intense moments in here. Great Walker killing towards the end, I thought. It was really cool to kind of see them working together with that, you know, just pushing through all the delts, as they call them, to set off that explosion or whatnot. And some really great images, too, of like just seeing Rick and Michonne in the scope of Thorne, right? Like right down her barrel. So I thought they did a really great job in here of some great cinematic moments. The Jadis and Rick stuff, super intense. And Andrew Lincoln always giving just an amazing performance, especially when he's like feeling it. You know what I mean? Like when he really feels like all hell is broke loose, or there's like no opportunity, or he's just down. Like Rick Grimes crying and just feeling helpless and lost is like Andrew Lincoln, like at his best, honestly. Yeah, again, Andrew and Danai are incredible on screen together. Love what they're able to capture in here, and really excited to see what episode 4 has in store. But guys, look, if there's anything that I missed that you guys want to go ahead and certainly continue to talk about, let me know in the comment section box below, and we'll definitely go ahead and continue this conversation later this week. I should be back on schedule, so definitely expect reviews for this, if not Monday, then on Tuesday at the latest. We'll definitely be talking episode 4. So until next time, guys, do me a big favor as always. Take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and keep it A+. We'll talk to you guys later. Bye.